Hey all, this is Michael Steinberg, and welcome to another episode of the Future Motion Podcast. Today we have an excellent interview, which I am excited to share with you all. But first, a few little personal updates. I'm sure you've already noticed my voice is sounding crystal clear. That is right. Just got set up with a nice little microphone here, so I'm excited to be having this production value for you all. And as well, I will say during the interview, I did not have this microphone at the time, so moving forward, I will. But yes, so just bear with the technical difficulties as I continue to grow. Speaking of which, another thing we have overcome here is we now have a we don't have a website, but we do have a Gmail. So, not sure if there's anybody that would like to email any questions in or thoughts, opinions at all or anything like that. But feel free to, and that is at futuremotionpodcast@gmail.com. That's right, futuremotionpodcast@gmail.com. Also, we do have a Discord with some amazing talented artists, which we are looking to grow it, but I don't want to make it public yet because I feel like having a tight community with just very responsive people and amazing talent is kind of a key here. So anybody that is interested, please send me an email, I guess, or reach out on Instagram or anything and just show a little interest, and you're more than welcome to join in, and I'll send you an invite here. So guys, with that being said, yada yada, you know me, I like to get to the point. So let's go ahead and jump on in. Here we go.
This is the Future Motion Podcast with your host, Michael Steinberg.
Well, so yeah, today, ladies and gentlemen, we have the amazing Vincent. I'm going to try and get this. Hold on, let me say this.
Yeah, let's see.
I'm going to do this three times, and I'm going to use the best take of this.
All right.
So, ladies and gentlemen, we have Vincent McTiernan.
Yeah, you got it, because I was going to say this meeting was over, but that was good. That was good.
All right, one-time golden take. Yeah. So we're going to start off, guys, and I'm just going to give a brief introduction of Vinny. He is just fantastic artist. You can see his stuff on ArtStation. He's getting into Unreal. He has an awesome display in Blender with just amazing work. And he's also great at After Effects, all the Adobe suites. So you guys have got to check it out. And I almost highly recommend you check it out now before we even start. Vinny, how couldn't they find some of your work before we get started here?
Yeah, they could just go to like mattwizard.com. mattewizard.com, or they can type in my full name, you know, and it's on ArtStation. I've been posting mostly on ArtStation,
and I'll definitely say with ArtStation, I have completely found it to be my new and favorite way of getting inspiration.
I have one image on there, which I did was the last image I did using Blender. I was doing a lot more Blender because I like Blender, because I feel Blender will be a force to be reckoned with, because the fact is that
if it's not already almost, yeah,
because you have like programs like say Nuke or that's a compositor, or that those are high-end programs, but not everybody has access to that. But here's a practice, you know, a software that's free, and because it's free, people think I can't be that good.
I used to never use Blender.
They'd be like, Blender's free. You got to pay money to get something. You get what you pay for. But you know what? The guy that owns that, you know, started that, he went in for the money. I believe there's a story where they offered him millions of dollars for it. And he said, no. He said, no, I don't want to do that. It's for the people, you know? And because it's open source, you got all these plugins and stuff like that. And the pipeline can work on anything. And they're getting much better. I really like the direction they're going, and you stick with it. And just like Unreal, I'm using Unreal 5 exclusively, because even though there's a lot of features, like it doesn't do displacement maps yet, but me learning.
But 4 does, right?
Yeah, 4.6, 4.7. I have all that stuff, But I figure I'm forcing myself just to learn the five, because when it comes out, I'm already ahead of the game because I'm already been using it for so long.
Well, really quick here, I just want to kind of get into, and we'll get into like a lot more of the promotion and like what you've done to get to where you're at. And I do want to hear your growth here. So you could just give me like a quick explanation of what you currently do.
Currently, I do like visual effects compositing. They call me like the doctor. They relate me to that movie Pulp Fiction, The Wolf, whatever at the guy.
Bob.
Is it The Wolf?
Yeah, that's one of my favorite movies.
Wait, I would have a visual effects shot that they messed up in filming and they can't fix it. So I would come in there, I would fix it and just politely get up and leave. like I said, I was currently working on a shot and part of it was so blurred out movement wise. And I used a plugin called Lockdown, which you actually told me about it. So yeah, if it wasn't for you, I would never have known about that. And so I had to get it and give it a shot and sat on it for like 6 months. And then when I had this one shot, I said, you know what, I'm going to give this a shot. You know, I'm going to try this. And in the end, it's just like it was seamless. I think I showed you the shot.
No, you did show me the shot. And I was actually
like, perfect. It's like, I can't believe I did it. You know, it's like one of those things. I'd be like, I honestly thought I was going to cry and tell him I can't do the shot. You know,
I almost asked, what did you do? Because it looked so real. I was like, was that already there? It looked, honestly, it was flawless.
Look. I worked on a film called Malevolence 3. It was a horror movie. A friend of mine directed it. And he asked me to enhance some of the shots, you know? So I said, okay. So I added like blood, but I do it realistically. I don't like over the top stuff. If you're going to do something, make it look real. You know, you were like, when you work in the visual effects, don't think that, oh, you know, it goes by too fast. No, I try to do my stuff where you can go frame by frame and everything will be in its place. Even though it will go by so fast, no one's going to see it. But subconsciously, they're going to say, this stuff looks real. And I did that for his film. Yeah. I did the blood. And somebody wrote that the practical effects were great in it. They actually thought the blood stuff that I added was real. And I took that. I said, hey, don't tell him. I said, don't tell the guy. It was like, it was all digital. You know, it's like,
right.
It was a composite. And it's like, so that's great. And that's the only thing that sucks about this thing is like, if you're in it for the ego, then it doesn't really work because no one's going to know what you did. Because if they know what you did or you changed, then you didn't do your job, you know? So you got to think about that too. But
no,
it's not the software.
Advice. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not the software. It's the artist. I mean, it doesn't matter. It's never the software. The software is like a tools, you know? And when you go to school, I never went to school for this, but when I did take some courses, you know, not college courses, but, you know, some courses or refreshing stuff like that, I find them boring because they showed you how to use the buttons, but they would never answer my questions like, how can you do this faster? Or why would you use this button instead of this and that? I have nothing against school. I think school's great. But sometimes having no schooling, the only thing that blocks you is yourself. Like for my, in my case, for years, I used to feel less than perfect with my work because I never went to school for it. And all these other people went to school for it. So I felt like college, you know, like they had the college. I don't have that. And I felt like I'm not as good as they are. Until one day I was working at a post house that my buddy owns. And he came to me. I told him, I said, I'm going to do this so I can put on my reel because, you know, I feel it says until I'm ready. He says, what do you mean? Until I'm ready, until I says, well, you're already there. You don't need school for this. So what do you mean? He says, look at all these credits you have, these films and all this other stuff, MTV, all this other stuff. You're already there.
Yeah.
And it's funny, when he said that to me, something snapped in the back of my head that clicked. And I said to myself, I said, damn, he's right. And that wall that was holding me down from creating and doing much better, my work went up like 500% because of that. Because you'd be surprised in how your subconscious will limit you and how people will try to bring you down to do that. Because we were working on a Maxim piece once. It was ESPN for the ESPN Maxim piece. And so this was like years and years ago. And there was a part where they had live footage with football players. So I had it where the football players, when they hit each other, they would glow. You might have seen it.
Was this like a commercial?
It was, I don't know what they use it for. We worked on it. Maybe it was, but it's like, you know, when they would hit and it had like electricity going up their arms. I did that. That's my first foray of using live footage because everything before that was like MTV doing like, you know, glitzy stuff. And I said, right. This is awesome. But then there's another guy that worked with us. He was like, oh, why are you doing that? That's cliche. You don't want to do that. And he convinced me not to continue. And I was like, okay. So I stopped. When it aired and they wrote back to the post house, they said they loved everything, especially. And as I said, the stuff that I worked on. And they said, well, I wish we saw more of that. And I said, that son of a bitch. Because I listened to that guy telling me not to do it.
Right.
And I said, that's why you have to go. You got to go by your own feelings. You got to feel it. It feels right. Don't do what other people like. Like any job you have, you do what they want. But you have to like say to yourself, what would I like to see? Wow, how would I want to see this? And that's what I do.
I feel like, you know, that's a good point too when it comes to art. And this is one tactic I've done recently, especially on a gig, one of my more recent gigs. But a lot of times, just because I find like it's hard for them to articulate what's in their head. And also, kind of, this might sound like, yo, bro, I'm smoking weed. But I think people have ideas in their head, but they're actually not good ideas. It makes sense in their head, but there's not a lot there. And I know that sounds weird to say, but
they're not really visual. That's the problem. That's it. Right. You know, a lot of times they're not visual. They need to see
like
it.
They're thinking of like, oh, we need more geometry, you know, in this shot. And it's like, that doesn't do anything. Where is this geometry? What are you thinking? Like a lot of times I'm spending so much time just trying to understand what they're thinking. And a lot of times they're just like, I don't even know.
Like, listen, I had a boss like that. It was like, they prevented me because I was always second guessing what they want.
Right.
And every time I did that, it was a nightmare to do anything because I was always guessing what would they want. Until one day I said, you know what, screw it, I'm going to do what I want. And when I did it, no questions were asked after that.
I just want to add on to that, though. It's like for anybody that might be doing a project right now and kind of struggling with that, I always recommend just doing both options. It might sound like extra work, but sometimes just taking that little fee and getting a little bit of credit goes a long way because that's kind of what I've been doing recently. And a lot of times now they're just like, you do you, you know, but it's not disrespectful. Yeah. It's like,
you
try your best to get their vision, but then you take the liberty because we're artists. I mean, unless it's an art director, which again, there can still be some struggle if an art director spends so long not designing. Which there's a lot more that goes into art directing besides just designing, but especially just with clients, a lot of times, if you give them a secondary option, which is what you think, it a lot of times will be better because they're not artists. We're artists. Mm-hmm. We know what looks good. They don't know what looks good. So when did you kind of get in freelance and then how did you enter it? Because I do want to hear. I know you were
okay. Here's the Vinnie Mac origin story.
I want the story. Give me the story.
Okay, I was 4 years old. I had an extra sketch. So what happened was I always liked music. I loved music, and I always wanted to do stuff with music. And I didn't have a computer or anything. But when I was growing up, I never said I can't afford something. Because the minute you say you can't afford something, you're sending up a mental image in your head of lack. And it's going to say, okay, because your mind will only move forward. It doesn't know right from wrong. It only, whatever you picture in your mind, you're going to move, gravitate towards that, right? So I said, I can't afford it now, but one day I will have it. I didn't know how I was going to do it, but I was going to get it. And I always got it because when you say something like that in your mind, like I have a project in my mind, I'm going to do this. I don't know how I'm going to do it, but I'm going to do it. And your mind will bring you to the places or the things you need to do to get that thing done. So I wanted to do music and I got a computer. My wife, we weren't married at the time, but she got me a computer and I started doing music. And one day I saw a picture of Bryce. I don't know if many people remember a program called Bryce. It did like terrains. And I was so mesmerized. I said, this looks so real. You look at it today, it looks like it belongs on a refrigerator. No, but it's like, but back then I was like, I was so amazed and I just got into it and it just worked itself out. I said, I want to work in this field. I want to do stuff like this. I didn't know how I was going to do it. But one day I was working for a manufacturer, like jewelry manufacturer. And when they laid us all off, it was a program that they allow you to get free training. You know, I never had the school, you know, I didn't have the college and stuff. I said, okay, where can I go? So I went to the new school and they had some courses there, graphic design. And while I was there, I used to show people my work to the point that we get, you know, like sick of it, like, hey, look what I did. Cause I was so excited. Like, look, I made a ball, you know, it's like, a, you know, I made a sphere. I made a piece of wood. And, but I would do all these scenes and it was getting better and they liked it. And, I went to one of those expos, you know, at the Jacob Javits Center, a teacher brought me there. Wow. And I saw After Effects for the first time. And on it, they had this thing with tracking like a candle and they tracked on the lens flare. And I was like mesmerized because back then everything was new. It's not like today, you know, it was like, and I was like, wow. I said, man, I wish I had that. And the teacher says, oh, I have one. I'll give it to you. I was like, what? And that's how I got it. The teacher gave me the, you know, the program. And I never looked back after that. I just got into it, just doing it. And by doing that, there was another guy in the class. His last name was Patel. He was a great guy. He came up in the magazine one day. He said, hey, look, there's a post house here. You know, the post houses in the city. And one of them was one uptown in Midtown. And it was called Forefront. They're not around anymore. And I remember doing something with their logo on it. And I did something real quick. And I went there for an interview. And I was like, oh, I couldn't believe I got in. You know, I was like, wow, this is amazing. So I sat down. They had the magazine Post. You remember, you know, the magazine Post?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Yeah. And I was like, wow, they got a magazine in this field. And I was like so excited. So they talked to me and I went home. I didn't think anything of it. I said, well, you know, give it a shot. They called me that afternoon and I interned there. And when I interned there, I became staff for a little while. There was another guy there I know there, and he said that I should do freelancing. And I never knew about freelancing, you know, how do you do that and stuff like that.
Right.
And when I left there, I went to another place and I just started jumping. And like I said, I wanted to do film work, but I didn't know how to do it. So I went to where my heart, where I worked at places where I felt like it was right. It was good, you know, and I was like, and I never looked back, man. I never looked back. I knew, do what you love. The money will follow. Trust me. If you do something out of money for money first, you're never going to be happy. In the short run, yeah, you will. But like I said, you know, when you look back in your life and you say you wish you did this, that's what's exactly what's going to happen. Because if you have passion for what you do, then it's no longer a job. Because now if it's a job, that means entails like, oh, you got to work. It's a job that forces me to do this. You know, it's a job. No, what we do is not a job. It's what we want to do. It's a difference.
Thank you. Just going to say this. There is just so much fun in this industry. I can't imagine.
I mean, I used to have so much fun. I used to just like do it. And people picked up on that. They said, wow, your energy. Because anytime I talked about it, I was like, I was into it. It's like something that I found my calling, you know?
Yeah.
Because I used to get fired from every job I ever had. Not because of behavior. Not because of behavior.
Right, right.
Like when I was younger. Then I realized the reason I got, you know, was laid off was because it wasn't challenging to me. When I got into visual effects, it clicked that this is it, because this is something that engages me and something I had passion for, you know? No one grows up and says, hey, I'm going to grow up and work in an office and do certain things like every day. I mean, no one does that, you know, no one can do that, but creative, to be able to take something that's never been made before and make it real, that's the good part and stuff like that.
Well, so let's go ahead and we're just kind of almost jump ahead here, but we're in Blender and I just want to hear about your Blender experience and also what led you to Unreal, because I feel like I'm kind of on this path to Unreal.
Yes. Well, I love doing terrain stuff and composition. That's like you're laying things out, having the eye follow, like everything fits together. And I liked Blender, but I really didn't like the fact that even though it had that real-time render in it, it's like you were limited to
called
size.
Called Eves,
you know?
Right?
Yeah, Eevee. And in cycles, if you wanted to go for realistic lighting, but Eevee started to get better, but I could lay out my stuff and like terrains, but I couldn't move around in it. I had to always like move the camera and I couldn't get those angles I want, you know, like it was good for stills and stuff. But then one day I had like Unreal and never really learned it. Cause to me, the learning curve is like really steep on it. But you know what? I forced myself. I said, you know, just like with Blender, I started just doing it. And every day I said, okay, I know how to do this now. And then the next day, okay, I can do this and this. And then, and just enhancing it. Don't be overwhelmed. Get a project, do something. You don't need to learn a program to learn all the buttons and stuff like that. Just get what you want to do and then figure out how to do that. That's the best way to learn it. And if you try to follow tutorials online, what happens is they'll show you how to do it and you'll be like, okay, but your long-term memory won't keep it, because it's when you try to struggle with something and you figure it out and you're like, aha, then you'll remember that longer and you feel more satisfied, because it's like, all right, you do the tutorials, if you know, do it out, but I never follow a tutorial. Right. The option is there. Sure. You don't need to know everything. You just need to know what you need to get done for what you need to get done. And then if you want to have like mountains with snow and then say, okay, how can I make indentations in the snow? Look up that tutorial. And then this and that, and just have it down, you know, and just play around with it. But what happened was, is like, I can only go so far with Blender, and I was tired of waiting a long time for the renders and say like, oh, okay, this looks good. But one day when I started to use Unreal, I said, you know what, screw this. I'm going to bring in the 3D models from Megascans and stuff like that, because they work well.
How long ago was this?
Beginning of the year, I started using Unreal.
Wow. Wow. So you're already producing amazing content and you've just been start using it for maybe two months to a year.
You do what you want to do. You see what you would like to see. And then that's what I did. And then when I used it, I said, oh, geez. You know, some gaming engines, they work with LODs, you know, like level of details. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when you play a game and you're moving the camera in and things pop in and stuff like that. That popping is the game engine loading in the higher res as you're moving closer to it. That's why
normally
you see
with depth forming. Of field and
and all that other stuff, it just like texture maps pop in. But with Unreal, especially Unreal 5, there is no more LODs. You can bring in high res models, a million, billion polygons, and it would automatically do that for you. So you could do whatever, you know, it's amazing. But when
I started, is it automatically? I just have to ask, because I am obsessed with
Nanite. Is
Nanite. So I've been primarily on 4 still, and I'm switching over to 5. So would you say that the LODs, like, view
you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. Yeah,
it's like crystal clear as far as
it's
you can
like
see.
Crystal clear. Yeah, it's like now you can create the way you wanted to create, like in a real 3D package, because the real 3D packages don't have that LOD. It's going to put a lot of people out of business, I think, because people that make those models. But so that's why I'm learning Unreal 5 and not going back, even though I can't use a lot of the plugins or some of the stuff that I had purchased for the Unreal 4.7, whatever it is. But I do like it. And like Unreal, it doesn't matter which one you're using. I'm able to use the camera. And what I do is I plug in on my PC, I plug in an Xbox controller, and it allows me to move around in real time. It's awesome. Oh. I can get the camera I want. I get the angles I want. And if you know about compositing and you know about lighting, and its lighting is great too, you can make it photorealistic. In fact, they use it now in like some of the Star Wars, I think.
Mandalorian.
Yeah. Yeah. Because you can make stuff in real time. And what I love about it, like if I had that same job that I worked for the frame store doing the composite stuff. And what I liked about that is like that was hard, because the guys changed the angle on me once. He says, can we lower that? I'm like, oh, damn. But I had already been using like in Blender, you know, some of the terrain, so I can get the angle I want and just paint in the parts that I needed it. But with Unreal, they can have any angle they want, and I can do that. And now they have a unique feature in there, which is great. You know how you can do a screen grab on your computer? Well, there's a thing in there called it captures your screen, and you can capture it at any resolution you want. You can capture it at like as much RAM as you have. You can make a 30K image if you wanted to, if you had enough RAM to do that. And
really?
It takes a snapshot of it in real time. Yes. And it's amazing. Yeah. There's a part in there on the top where I forgot where this feature is, where you go click down. And it says like screen capture, and a little window comes up and you click on it, and you can set it to any resolution you want. And it can output like a 5K, 8K, and you can see it, and it's detailed. I don't know how it works, man, but it's like voodoo magic.
So what would be one plugin or application that you think would be a game changer for you?
I think Unreal, actually.
Really? Think Unreal could do better? Let me ask, dare I ask that? Is there anything that...
Yes, it allows you to like set up quickly your like your scene. You can do a scene, and if you can track that and you output that, you can bring in the camera data and do a green screen and edit right in there, and it will look photorealistic, you know.
Right.
But I think all that is going to be in, and Blender, I think, is going to be a game changer as well, because more and more people are using it, and it's easier for production houses to get people to use that as well. It's like, because they always think that those mentality, oh, you know, like Maya, stuff like that. Each one has its own strengths. No program does it all, because there's always going to have like one part that's missing. Like some people like the model and they sit there and they take a long time, they take days to get that perfect model. But to me, when you see a game or something else, the model's good, but it's how it's laid out, where it's laid out, the terrain. That's what I really like, to lay things out like a compositor, you know, making it look real, making it look livable, you know, like something that you look at, you'd be like, wow, this looks like something. Is this from Nat Geo? You know, like, is this real ruins? Is this real? It doesn't look gamey. You know, I want it to look ultra real.
Based on, I just have to ask again, on Unreal, if there was one feature you could have right now to make your visions be achieved even faster, what feature would that be?
Like I said, I haven't been using it that long, but the more I use it, the more I realize that, okay, this is going somewhere. And I can't use some of the plugins like, you know, that I have for the other one. But, you know, at the end of this year, beginning of next year, the full version will come out, which will allow for all that other stuff. So if you get on it now and just learn Unreal 5, you know, just do Unreal 5.
I can't imagine. I think Unreal is going to be one of the best programs. And I think, you know, just getting started now is probably one of the best things any motion designer could probably do in their career, because the future is coming, whether we like it or not. And it's very easy to get stagnant, but it's just too powerful. So I just want to hear, so going on to our next question, what is your pocket advice for everyone?
The best advice I can give anybody is, as someone told me, and I've been doing it all my life, and when he explained it to me, I was like, wow, really? I've been doing that. This is not a lot of people do. Just picture like a ring, circles, right? You got like a circle. In that circle is what your client wants. Like say they want a box moving across the screen. Then you have an outer circle that's a little bit beyond that inner circle, which is you're giving them something more than what that box is. Like say you say, hey, what if I did the box moving across, but it spins and there's a trail of smoke coming out of it? The client didn't expect that, but they're like, wow, you give them worth. You give them more than they expected. It didn't take much time out of yours, but you made it much better than what it could have been. And they like that. And then there's an outer ring that's beyond that. That's like doing something totally like off the wall for like a little bit amount of money. It's like, it wouldn't be worth it. But if whatever that somebody asks you, when you do something that's just a little bit beyond what they want, they will always be satisfied and they will always like that. Because the goal is, and what my goal is, and what your goal should be, is it's not good enough to do a good job. All right. It means everything for wanting them to come back for more. That's what you strive for, because anybody can do a good job. But if you do a good job that's so well that that person, that client, is able to come back and ask you to do it again, then you know you did something right. Then you know you did something right.
All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening. And that is the end of the episode. It was cut a bit short due to some technical difficulties, but we are excited to have Vincent come back soon. And yeah, I hope you guys all enjoyed. That was just really fun for me. And I always love talking about Unreal and real-time render engines and, you know, VR and all that fun stuff. So I hope you guys are having a good time with these podcasts, because I will say we have even more exciting guests lined up for you coming down the line. So make sure to subscribe, follow, all that other stuff. I hate doing the self-promotion stuff. Makes me, okay, you know what? We're going to end it just there. All right, guys, you have a great time. Peace.